Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest is pecan grower and farm manager at Dixie Ranch, Greg Davier. With a long history in the valley, Davier grows and harvests pecans on a 255-acre farm south of Mesilla from trees his grandmother planted in the 1960s. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hi, Emily. Thanks for having me here today.
You're welcome. Well, how long have you been a pecan farmer and why?
I've personally been a pecan farmer since 1994. I probably became interested in the farm when I was, 14, maybe 15, somewhere in that age, in the late 80s. My father had been the general manager for our farm since the late 70s, and I would take trips to Las Cruces when we came to check on the crop or conduct pecan-related business. I lived in Phoenix, Arizona. My dad is an electrical engineer. He graduated from Mexico State with a master's degree in engineering, and he worked for the power company in Phoenix. And so I was born and raised out there and only commuted to Las Cruces until 94. And I'd been doing this for several years when, in the early 90s, our current manager became ill, and it was clear that he wasn't going to be able to continue being the manager for much longer. And on one of the trips over, my dad asked me if I would like to come out and be the manager for the farm. And
what was it that interested you?
I have a strong sense of family, and what really brought me home to the farm was the idea of farming the ground that my great-grandfather had started farming in 1905, living in the home that he built for my great-grandmother in 1905, and really continuing that tradition of working the land and growing something that we all can enjoy.
So this has become home.
Oh, most definitely. I love living in Las Cruces.
And what do you know of the history of pecan farming in the Mesilla Valley?
Well, pecans were first planted really on a trial basis by Fabian Garcia. It was maybe the 20s, maybe the 30s. And then the first big commercial orchards were done by Dean Stahman, and he started planting pecans in the 1930s.
Fabian Garcia, that's the research farm from New Mexico State University.
That's correct. That's in Mesilla Park. And the trees that he planted are still there. They still produce pecans. So those are some of the oldest trees in the valley.
So then the very commercial crop with the Stahman Farms then?
Yes, Stahman's was really a pioneer in growing pecans. And he was a peer with my great-grandfather. And through family stories, they talk about Dean coming and talking with my great-grandfather, Albert Sidney Robertson, who was from Louisiana. And so he would talk with my great-grandfather about planting pecans. And having come from Louisiana, my great-grandfather thought it was a terrible idea. He had remembered hurricanes in Louisiana and what it would do to the pecan trees, and he thought of the winds that we have here in the spring. And he told Dean, he says, yeah, I don't think anything will ever come of it. The spring winds, once these trees grow, they'll just rip them apart, and that'll kind of be the end of it. Well, unfortunately, my great-grandfather passed away in the 30s, shortly after Dean came up with this idea and started planting pecan trees. So he never really got to the point where Dean could say, well, it worked, I told you so.
Where did pecan trees also grow?
The largest producing state in the U.S. is Georgia. Georgia produces, on average, about 1.5 times what we produce here in New Mexico, somewhere in that range. Texas is also a very large producing state. That said, pecans are grown in California, they're grown in Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. They're grown throughout the South. Pecan trees are native to the sort of the Arkansas-Mississippi River Valley. So they grow anywhere where they have conditions that are similar to that.
You talked about Georgia and that area had what it takes to grow pecans. What does it take?
One of the big things it takes is water, lots of water. Pecan trees need 50-plus inches of water every year. In the Mesilla Valley, we generally figure that they need about 65 inches of water every year. So our valley is very uniquely suited in that we have this well-established water supply through the Rio Grande Project. We also have a very healthy groundwater aquifer to augment the surface water supply in times of drought like we're currently experiencing. So that's number one, water. Number two, pecans require frost-free days, and it's about 200, 205 frost-free days that you need to grow pecans. In the Mesilla Valley, we have about 220. That makes it very well suited for growing pecans. If you're too cold, obviously you don't have enough frost-free days. You tend to lose a large portion of your crops to either an early freeze or a late freeze. Similarly, if you have too many frost-free days, the trees didn't evolve in that sort of a climate, and you start to have problems with the nuts sprouting on the tree before you can harvest them, or the tree not knowing when to drop its leaves or when to pollinate the flowers, and it starts to get confused, if you will, where that 210 to 230 frost-free days just about perfect for pecans. That's why the Mesilla Valley is the most concentrated, highest producing region for growing pecans anywhere in the entire world.
And what else does it take to grow quality pecans?
Well, there's a bunch of other inputs that we use. The big ones, again, being water and the frost-free days. And those are region-dependent. Beyond that, if you talk to five different farmers, you'll probably get five different ideas about how to grow pecans. But there are some basic things that they need. In our area, we have to supplement the ground with nitrogen. There's not enough natural nitrogen in the soils to take care of the pecans in our area. We also spray the trees with zinc. Our soils are very high in pH, so in our area, we need to spray the zinc on because the trees are unable to get that zinc from the soil. Pest management is also very important in pecans, so managing aphids on trees, managing pecan-consuming pests, such as the pecan nut casebearer, these are important management items that we consider and things that we input into. But again, the number one thing is water. I can do just about everything else perfect, but if I water poorly, the rest of it didn't matter.
A lot of crops take from the ground, and they have to rotate crops. Can't rotate crops with pecans, can you?
That's correct. So a lot of our inputs is to sort of correct for that deficiency. So, and you'll have to forgive me if some of our listeners are row crop growers and know a lot more about this than I do, but we'll take a couple crops. We'll take onions and maybe corn. And this is just anecdotally from what I've heard. You plant the onions and you grow an onion crop. Whatever it is that the onions do in the soil now make it a very good fertile ground for planting corn in. So you plant your corn after your onions and you have a very good corn crop. If you plant the corn and then plant the corn again and then plant the corn again, the corn can be susceptible to corn pests because there's been no break there to break the pest's life cycle. The nutrients that the corn is in high demand for are now depleted from the soil where other nutrients may be abundant, but the corn's not really calling for them. In pecan trees, we can't do that. The pecans do have a high demand specifically for nitrogen. They also demand phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, iron, some other nutrients. So we have to supply those because we can't simply rotate in another crop that will help build those up in the soil.
So that then becomes very expensive.
It does, and especially in the growing world economy. So we'll take nitrogen fertilizer. As China's economy grows and their population grows, as India's population grows, their farmers need to become more efficient at growing their food. So they need to grow more food per unit acre than they have in the past. Well, one of the main ways of doing that is to fertilize your crops. So as their demand for food increases, their demand for fertilizer increases. So as with all things, supply and demand, as the demand for these items goes up, the cost of them also goes up. And we compete with China and with India and with the rest of the world for fertilizer in the same way that, you know, most people think of fuel, the gas you put in your car. Well, if China has a big demand for gas all of a sudden because their middle class is growing, necessarily fuel prices are going to go up, and we feel the same thing with fertilizer and other inputs.
Well, while we're competing with the demand for fertilizer with China, they're also becoming the high consumer of pecans.
Yeah, the circle of the global economy. It's wonderful. Pecans really are a fantastic, nutritious food source. They are the healthiest nut that you can eat, and the Chinese people have found this out. They're very health conscious, and they have increased their demand for pecans pretty much every year for the last decade. The Chinese people have a custom of giving a gift to people that come into their home, and the pecans there tend to be packaged in a small package that maybe has, I don't know, 10, 15 pecans in it, and it'll be a gift to someone that comes into their home, a healthy food that they can take with them and eat. And being as health conscious as they are, they just want more and more of it, and we're happy to supply it.
Since Georgia has an earlier harvest season, so then China goes there first?
Well, they grow a different pecan than we do here in the Southwest. Specifically, the pecans they grow in Georgia, the varieties that grow well in Georgia, tend to produce a larger nut. When we eat pecans in the United States, most people don't go to, say, Sam's Club and buy a bag of pecans that are in the shell. We generally tend to either buy our pecans already processed into a food, like ice cream or cookies, pies, things of that nature, or if we're buying them as an ingredient, we buy them already shelled. Well, in those cases, most people really don't care how big the original nut was. They are putting the product in as an ingredient. The Chinese are actually buying the nuts still in the shell, and the larger nuts are more appealing to consumers. They'll take the nuts, the Chinese processors will crack them, they'll soak them into a spice, you know, very proprietary recipes, every company has their own flavor, and then they sell these cracked and spiced nuts, kind of similar to the same way we buy pistachios. When we buy pistachios, we think of them as a snack food, and the idea of opening the pistachio up and eating it is part of the enjoyment of eating pistachios. Very few people buy pistachios already shelled. Pecans, very similar idea in China. They want them in the shell and ready to eat, and a package with large pecans is in more demand than a package with small pecans. The varieties that are grown in Georgia tend to have 50 or fewer pecans per pound. We call that the nut count. Those nuts are in high demand in China. Here in the Southwest, the primary pecan we grow is Western Slice, and a very good Western Sly, a fantastic Western Sly, is about a 65 nut count. Generally speaking, on average, our valley is probably producing 70 to 75 count nuts, and they're just too small for that really high-demand Chinese in-shell market. That said, we're very happy that Chinese taken those nuts, because all of the nuts that are taken out are now nuts that won't be shelled, that won't go into the shelled market, and that leaves an opening for our nuts to go in. And as more people consume pecans, as pecan prices have gone up, it becomes, I guess, more profitable per hour to steal pecans, and that's a serious problem. It's not the sole reason. Pecan theft has always been a problem, but one of the big problems in our area and pretty much throughout the pecan belt is how quickly and easily a thief can turn pecans into cash. Pecan theft isn't occurring because people think pecans are too expensive at the grocery store, and so they're just going to steal the pecans that they're going to eat. There's very little of that. Most of the pecan theft that's occurring are people that are actually thieves stealing the nuts, turning them into cash, the same way they'd steal the stereo out of your car or the TV from your house. So in our industry, especially as more and more people have yard tree lots, so they'll have, say, 5 pecan trees in their yard because we're a pecan-growing region. Well, they need someplace to go and sell their pecans. And so they'll gather them up, and they'll take them to a buying station. The buying station will buy their pecans. Well, as more of these small lots have come about, more buying stations are rising up, and the more places there are to liquidate these pecans, the more brazen the thieves are at going and taking them and then quickly turning them into cash.
When did this become a really big problem?
Certainly in the last 10 years, it's gone up significantly. And the last 5 with pecan prices, it's gone up drastically. Right after the September 11th attacks, pecan prices fell. They fell sharply. And while theft was still a problem, people really aren't interested in going and working all night to steal pecans to make $5. And when pecans are less than $1 a pound, it's a lot of work to steal them and turn them into cash. That said, when you can do the same amount of work and make $100 a night or $200 a night, that has emboldened these thieves to try coming into these orchards. So some of the things that we have done as an industry and some of the things that we do at our farm is unfortunately become very unfriendly. If you come through the gate of my farm and I don't know you, well, it's almost an interrogation. Before I answer any of your questions, before I talk to you, I've ID'd you. I've asked for your driver's license and taken photos of that, taken photos of your vehicle, the license plate, and then I get to know you. I'm a friendly guy. I really don't like that. But that's one of the only ways I can protect myself from people who are just coming in to look around to make a decision about whether or not they can come in later when the lights are out.
Is your farm fenced?
My farm is not fenced, but there are several farms in the valley that are. That's becoming more common. And it's one of these ideas of being neighborly. I like to get along with my neighbors, and pecan farms are a nice place to go for a Sunday walk, to sit under the shade of a tree and read a book. And my neighbors are generally good to me. I like to be good to my neighbors, and I like to afford them to do that. Well, as soon as I put up a fence and a locked gate, I've really cut myself off from my neighbors. Unfortunately, that is becoming more and more the way that we have to go, because while our neighbors don't bother us, in the middle of the night, you can't tell the difference between a neighbor and a thief.
So you've taken up arms as well.
I have. It sounds a little Wild West that, you know, I'm carrying a firearm in order to protect my pecans, and I suppose there's a little of that, but most of it's to protect myself. When I confront someone who I don't know who's stealing, think of finding a thief in your home and then confronting them. would you rather be armed or would you rather be not armed? And because I have no idea if they're armed or not, I have no idea how they're going to react when essentially I walk up to them saying, I've found you stealing and you're going to need to explain yourself to the police. It's mostly to say that if I need to defend myself, I can. My firearm stays in the holster. It's never been out, and God willing, it never will be. But it's there if I need it, and I hate carrying it, but it's sort of a necessity when I'm having to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning to find out who's wandering around the orchard with a flashlight.
Is Georgia having the same problem, or other states throughout the nation that are pecan growers?
Absolutely, and the more concentrated the pecan growing region, the bigger a problem it is. And again, a lot of it is this idea of the spread of pecans into an ornamental crop or not really an ornamental crop. I mean, people that grow pecans in their yards enjoy eating the pecans. It's not really just to look at. But this spread of small, you know, a few trees, and then I need somewhere to go with my pecans. In the South, where pecans are native, they've had this problem for a very long time. Small roadside stands where people go and sell their pecans. And the roadside stand can't tell the difference between a pecan that's stolen and a pecan that's not. They all look the same. So they've been battling this problem longer than we have. In Georgia, I'm told that a lot of the large growers have come together and they actually have their own private security force that patrols these orchards, and they've been very effective at apprehending and prosecuting the thieves that are coming into their orchards and stealing the nuts.
So when the economy gets better, do you foresee that this is going to help or not?
I don't really know. There's a lot of social question in that I'm not really an expert on. I would like to think that if you have, you know, that these people are out stealing pecans only because they can't get any work and they need to feed their family. That certainly sounds nice. That said, you know, my heart tells me that even people that are struggling don't steal to make ends meet. They find another way. And so when jobs are prevalent again, the people that are struggling will now have jobs, but they weren't stealing the nuts from me in the first place. So I'm not optimistic that an improving economy will decrease theft in our orchards. Deterrents, I think, are now to the where we're at.
And what do you foresee for the pecan orchards throughout this area?
Again, we happen to be blessed with the proper climate. We happen to be blessed with the what is generally an abundant water supply. And pecan prices are at a point that you can profitably grow pecans and expand your pecan operation. Those two things lend themselves, the climate and the profitability to be able to expand, lend themselves to the pecan industry continuing to grow in our region. Again, there's a reason that we are the most productive pecan region in the world. Climate and water is what makes us so productive at growing pecans. And as long as farmers can pay the bills, I see them continuing to expand their orchard.
And why is it an expensive investment?
Well, one of the toughest things about pecans is the time from planting to the time that they will bear and essentially take care of themselves. That the amount of money that you put into it, they're able to produce at least that amount of money coming back out of it. I'm told that there is no other tree crop that is planted that takes longer to get to sustainability than there are for pecans.
And how long is that?
It's about 7 to 10 years. Kind of depends on the variety, how they're planted, and that sort of thing. But the general rule of thumb is somewhere between 7 and 10 years before the tree is able to produce enough just to pay for its annual inputs, let alone all of the years that you had the land laying out and all the inputs that you put in before that. So it just takes a lot of money up front to get into pecans before it can start returning it. And that makes it difficult to actually get into pecans. If you're growing, let's say, cotton, well, you buy the land, you plant your crop, and at the end of your first year, you have a sale. So you're able to make payments on the land, you're able to pay back the loan you had for the inputs, and whatever other cash requirements you had over the course of the year. Well, with pecans, you go to the bank and you ask for a loan to buy the land and plant the pecans and all the other various things that you need to spend money on. And of course, one of their first questions is, when are you going to start making payments on this debt? And you tell them, well, it'll probably start coming around in maybe 8 years. And the bank starts looking for other sources of income or other ways that you can somehow subsidize your now pecan growing habit. So if you're not already growing pecans or you don't already have some large stream of cash flow, it's difficult to make that first step and plant those first trees. As far as just individuals who have never grown pecans before and are now growing pecans, you don't see a whole lot of that. You actually see very little of that. I know of one farmer in the valley who just started becoming a farmer, and he started planting pecans. That said, he was very successful in some other industry first, and he brought that money into pecan farming. And I know of two or three probably very prominent farmers who were very successful in other industries and then diversified into pecan farming. But when we look at the majority of people who are planting pecan trees or starting a new orchard, usually they're already pecan farmers, and they're using the equity or the income off of the land that they already have producing pecans to take care of this land that's now going to be out of production for the next decade.
When is the pecan harvest time? It's coming up soon?
In the Mesilla Valley, it normally starts right at Thanksgiving. That's the common start date. We wait for a hard freeze, generally speaking. That brings the leaves off the tree. The pecans open a little bit further. It helps the pecans to dry, so they're not too wet when we bring them in. And generally speaking, the Mesilla Valley, that happens right about Thanksgiving, plus or minus a week. So that's when I'm asked on the 1st of November, when do you start harvest? I think Thanksgiving. That said, we've had a year in the past decade where we didn't start harvest until Christmas because it just didn't freeze. And we've had years that we were able to start by like the third week in November because it froze early and everything's ready to go. So it's very weather dependent for us. We like to have the growing season extend. The longer it's warm and there's sunshine and the trees are able to keep growing, the healthier they are. But we really can't start harvesting until that ends and we get the freeze.
And how long is the harvest period?
On my farm, between 2 and 3 weeks, if we don't have any significant issues, whether they be weather-related or machinery-related. For the valley, 6 weeks is about right for all of the major harvesting activities to be completed. And when you include the kind of the stragglers, probably about 10 weeks is probably about on average from start to finish when things are completed.
Well, thank you so much, Greg Davier, pecan farmer and also the farm manager for Dixie Ranch.
Well, thank you, Emily. I enjoyed it. And like I always say, please eat all the pecans you want. We'll make more.
For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.